Good afternoon, XFL. This is the Kicking It podcast with me, Pride, KOTB, and Biz. Guys, it's been a while since we've done this. New cycle. Have you guys missed this at all?
Oh, I guess it's okay to say I missed it, you know?
Keep the hype train rolling. Let's get started.
Yeah, I know we have been we brought up doing the next pod over and over again, and some of us wanted to wait for, I guess, points to open back up. But, I mean, after a exciting team draft and then the stuff going on last night with the proposed changes, I guess it's an appropriate time to do it. So, but with that, we are actually wanting to discuss some of the things that stood out from last night's role changes. So, guys, anything that stand out from last night that you guys want to hit on?
Well, I'll say, first of all, it's nice to see the commish team making efforts to improve the league, right? And with that said, I'll let Busy get going here because he's got a lot of energy focused towards this.
There's a lot to look at, to see. I mean, tons. I think I posted in the chat earlier, like, a lot went down last night. And obviously, I didn't watch it live because I was busy. But I came back and watched it this morning, and there's a lot to unpack, a lot of good stuff, a lot of stuff that I don't know how much it impacts, and some things where I'm slightly disappointed. So I guess I hit agree. You know, I'll just start it off. I think this is probably the only negative thing that I saw from what rolled out last night as far as news and updates, and that's the training camp. That 25 minutes to get it started. Great if you're online and you know you're available, which a vast majority will be able to be, but a true hindrance for anybody that's not available to do it. Like if you're not available for that 25 minute window, that like that's a big knock, because by the time that we get to season 4, probably sooner than that, we're probably realistically looking at probably season 2, season 3, you have 6 training slots. Actually, never mind. That's different. But still, if you're not available, you're looking at, what is that, 8 to 10 players receiving an additional XP point that you don't get, because you only get the bronze if it's simmed. So you're missing a ton of points.
When you say XP point, like, could you just clarify for some of us who aren't aware, what does that mean? Like, are you talking about a chip? Like, what do you really lose out if you have to sim training camp? Like, what are you missing out on?
The biggest thing that you miss out on is the chip, right? It's the biggest controllable, because most of us are going to hit at least silver, which is where you get the chip. If you hit bronze, I don't believe you get a chip for doing that. You got to hit silver in order to get that chip. And if it's simmed, then it's automatically bronze, meaning you don't get the chip. So, you know, you figure 8 players not getting a chip versus getting a chip, that's big down the road. Not to mention, you know, if you're good at the game and you get gold, right, the XP starts to add up. And apparently there's some randomness. If you get gold on your first try, then you potentially could earn a dev upgrade. So for those that aren't able to do it, I believe it's a pretty big hindrance to team building in the long haul of things.
Yeah, and I know, I understand why they did this. So for those who aren't aware, there's since this is just training camp, so this is not an entire season thing. So for training camp, you pick specific drills for specific positions to get, I guess, XP, but there's an automatic chip upgrade, which is pretty extreme, considering how we want to control and kind of limit development. But the good thing is that, and what they're doing is putting that 25-minute time limit on it. I guess it's the best way to combat this very extreme push that EA did. How do you feel about the time limit, though? I mean, yeah, so you say it's going to be like 8 to 10 drills, but realistically, say someone is really good at these, and there's probably a couple you're like, everyone can be good at. The running back drills are going to be super easy from what I've seen. The quarterback ones are tough. The DB one, it can be tough. The wide receiver one, I thought that was a little too easy. But putting, I guess realistically, you can get maybe four chips, you know, within that 25-minute time frame. How do you feel about that 25-minute limit, though? I mean, is that a good proposal?
I mean, I think the 25-minute limit.
Correct, because you're not going to have time. So no one's going to have time to go through all of them and hit gold or silver on all the drills. So they're limiting. So you can only do the training camp drills for 25 minutes before Nick advances, I guess, to maybe, I guess, is it preseason one where the drill cuts off?
Yeah. So it's the timing isn't the issue. I understand why they did it. It's because they don't want people to just keep trying until they get the goal.
When some people just can't, like they talked about it last night, right? But it's like some people like work full time, right? Versus someone who's just got all day, every day, you know, no shade against anybody, but right, like it is a little bit of a, you know, balancing the playing field, right? If someone's got 13 hours to do it versus someone having, you know, getting on right before advance or the kids going to sleep or whatever. So, I mean, I like it from that sense, you know, in one way.
But in my opinion, if you look at it realistically, I mean, even if you did it over and over to get the gold, you know, you're not spending more than an hour on it. So, you know, what adult doesn't have an hour to spare within a 24-hour period? I believe that you make it more exclusive when you create a 25-minute window. Because you can run through and you can perform every drill in about 20 minutes. That's what Guac and Brackett tested the other day to see how long it takes. So you can do all of that in about 20 minutes. So if you're available in the 25-minute window, you have an opportunity to receive really 8 golds that somebody else isn't able to, potentially not be able to get that shot. And almost certainly people like Airv aren't able to get up and take that shot after staying up till, or, you know, after waking up at 3 a.m. one night to turn around and do it again the next night. So it's almost realistically, he's never going to get it.
Yeah, and I guess the good thing is that this thing is not, you know, we don't draft, you know, we don't have a set day that we draft. So, yeah, I know your Wednesdays and Sundays are pretty much gone. But realistically, you know, we can draft on other days besides. I know I'll be screwed on Friday nights and Saturday nights. And that's just how it's going to roll. How the draft is going to fall will depend on who has, you know, you're not entirely excluded from it. It's just how it's going to fall. So, yeah. Hey, make the playoffs. And if you want to slow roll, you know, if you want to slow roll your game and try to line up a draft day that fits your schedule, just do something in the playoffs to, hopefully, shape that schedule, you know, to your benefit. But
yeah,
there are going to be days that there are going to be some that we're all going to miss. So I mean, there's nothing they can do to guarantee that everyone gets it. So I do like that 25 limit. At least they're trying to put some controls in there. You know, yeah, maybe Jiggy's going to hit 8 of them. But maybe if it becomes a problem, you know, maybe if that is become the case where everyone gets too good at it, and maybe they'll do a thing where, you know, they bump down, you know, whatever, this dev upgrade, you know, thing. Maybe the commission team can just say, hey, all right, you guys can get the chip, but let's drop that dev grade down. So maybe they'll do that. So I don't know.
Here's a question, right? So with all that said, if you can't do back-to-back nights for whatever reason, if you could only pick one, the draft or training camp, which would you pick?
Training camp. I've missed training the draft camp for like the past like 8 years. This is standard practice for me. So
I agree. I would rather do training camp than I would rather not miss training camp than draft.
So now we're at the point where the draft training camp supersedes the draft. Wow. Life comes at you fast.
Welcome to the new XCFM.
Yeah,
I can see an uptick in that little X phone thing. Maybe some sales on that. So, Biz, you may have to squeeze some training camp in that church.
Never. I'll be all right. So we hammered home some of the training camp thing. Is there anything else that y'all wanted to touch on? Because there's some stuff in here. It's nice.
People are gonna be teaching their wives to do training camp now.
Care to be anything stand out to you on this list?
Yeah, I mean, I like the DB stuff, you know. And I like particularly what they added at the end, the linebackers, especially because there are some pass coverage linebackers that otherwise suck, right? That they could maybe, you know, work their way in rotational players, you know, some a fast linebacker with aggressive play ball is good. The reason I know there's no user catching, but with the Y, A, and X buttons, right? Those are kind of user catching. And like, basically, you know, you can do that because people don't like the way players react when they're not controlling them, which is basically the way the defense reacts, right? So adding the, you know, increasing the amount of aggressive play ball, like, you know, that helps the defense a little bit. And I think everyone would agree that, you know, the game skewed towards the offense. So just like the real NFL is, but so I like that. You know, I understand there's some points about diluting APB, but I think overall it'll just make for a smoother play, right? Without really having hundreds of hours in the game. But I like that. Wide receiver speed thing is a little interesting. You know, I'm not sure if I love that as much, but I also don't want to see undrafted free agents with elite speed getting drafted 14th overall or, you know, first round pick. That's kind of stupid too. What about you guys? What do you think?
I love that speed rule, and I hope it stays in place. Like, for me, you could expand that really as deep as you want, because there's very few players that have the type of speed that we were seeing come out in the last draft. So seeing that tapered is a win in my book.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll throw an element of jockeying for these guys. You know, if, you know, say like a guy typically would not maybe reach for, you know, a high speed guy, you know, in the first, then it becomes a thing where, hey, am I really gonna take a projected sixth rounder, you know, in the first, where typically I wouldn't do that. Because, you know, because you don't want to fall into that second round cap thing, but then, you know, maybe other guys are kind of like thinking the same thing, you know. So it'll be fun to see how people will battle each other as far as these players go. And I do want to hit on that outside linebacker thing. I do like that they're trying to put some value back into linebackers, especially outside linebackers. I swear, if it's not a pass rush outside linebacker, I wouldn't even touch them.
I do want to add with the speed thing, with not really just the speed thing, just the overall projections. I would love to see them add in the caveat of, because I know it's projection, right? Like, if you're projected round one, it's not your discovered grade. But I would love for it to include, if you discover somebody that jumps up into that would count. So like, if you're projected round one, and then when it's all over, you know, you're like a round four, that's fine. Leave it projected round one. But if you discover a gem that's like projected round three through four, and all of a sudden he shows as a round one to two, I would love to see that included, because you scouted them, right? Like, to be able to uncover it 100%, not everybody's going to be able to do that. So you found a gem. I just think that, you know, being able to reward finding that gem would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty neat, though, too, seeing that happen.
Yeah, one question I did have, though, and I'm sure these guys got it figured out, but one of you probably know, is can the projections change throughout the season? Like, can you start off projected as a first-round pick and then drop to, like, a second or third based off of how it goes? Like, is it that dynamic from a scouting perspective? Or no?
Biz, you know, I have no idea.
I don't either.
Players can jump up, right? They can go from like a projected second to a first. I don't know. I'm sure Brackett and Nick have an uncovered, so we don't have to harp on that. But I was just wondering.
Maybe they can answer that in chat for us.
Yeah, because you've seen like the mocks, the updated mocks, where you know the players rise and fall. So I wonder if that rise and fall, if that reflects also their projected grades, if those are as fluid as the mocks come out. So I know my draft board, I see like that green arrow up and red arrow down. I don't know if that affects projected rounds. I just know that just affects the position where that guy ranks as far as that overall, you know, position grouping goes. So yeah. that's a good question though. Anything else?
Trust in them. They probably got that figured out.
They probably do. I mean, they consider things that I never even fathomed. You know, for them, they like address stuff like adding, you know, hit traits to certain thresholds, like the big hitter yeah. on. I mean, I would never even think about that stuff. So the lengths these guys go to, I mean, I would figure that they would have all this on the.
I'm a big fan of those. Those are both great rules, right? The D lot, the pass rusher, and the hit power.
You know, yeah,
thumbs up on those.
They're trying to prevent people from not making an impact when they should make an impact. You know, you have a player that's projected, you know, top five, and you know you'll see him slip a little bit because you know he's showing up that he doesn't have aggressive play ball. And you know that's just an example, but you see players falling that really shouldn't because they're missing traits.
Yeah,
right. Or also like how many? I mean, I know I've taken a bunch of linebackers over the years, right? That have like they have good speed, good height, good tackle power, but you know their zone coverage and man coverage is in the 30s, right? And it's like they're never going to be anything remotely usable from pass rusher perspective from the coverage, right?
Yeah.
So just making them a little more valuable in the pass rush game is. Think that's a win, or you know, just tackling, right? Short yardage, whatever.
Yeah. So for the defensive end, defense tackle, outside linebacker, that first round projection gets a pass rush trade added. Do you guys think that defensive tackle should be included in that, considering how already overpowered they seem to have been? I'm sure they did testing on this, but from what I've seen, the defensive tackle is still a little overpowered. So do you think they should be included as a automatic pass trait addition? Or just keep it to like defensive end and outside linebacker? Because I know we're trying to make those positions viable outside of Jiggy. I mean, Jiggy has some magic to make those positions impactful, but I feel like defensive tackle is already impactful enough to where it doesn't need the automatic pass rush trait addition. What do you guys think?
That's a good point, and my short answer is, no, they shouldn't get the update boost, and that's a really good point.
So I mean, have you guys seen the defensive tackle still be a little overpowered in the games we played, or you guys have played?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I don't know if I have a strong opinion on that either way. I think people who use it, I mean, if someone's using a DT, right, the pass rates trades get trumped anyway, or it doesn't even matter, or does it? I don't know.
No, either. They probably have this tested out, so
I'm trust the process.
I'm wasting my time here, so.
Yeah.
To be any other of the ones that stood out to you, or you have any opinions on?
No, I mean, I think, like I said, I think they're all, you know, they're all great for the most part, right?
Yeah.
If I had to pick one, I'm a little less high on. It's the wide receiver stuff, but, you know, that's fine, too. It's not, I don't feel strongly enough about it to argue it the other way.
I think
a lot of what they showed is, real improvements, in my opinion, like real improvements. I am intrigued by what they teased was coming out here shortly, you know, with some of those, the coaching carousel and some potential adjustments to player position changes. Extremely intrigued by what we're going to hear there.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of just hanging on, listening to the sub linebacker talk. because and I got Brian Branch, and I would love for him to. I would love for him to be eligible for somebody only because he's so slow. It would just bring. I guess if the safety position is a little underwhelming for Spiegel, I would like to see slower. Slower safeties who have good have good attributes. Because no one really realistically is going to throw an 86 speed safety. Deep.
Nope.
So I would love to see at least them be able to be moved to the sub linebacker position. And that's just for personal reasons. Like I said, I got Brian Branch, and I can't put him back there. So I'd love to see him at sub linebacker. Please give him some value. So, but I'll be curious what they push out. So.
Yeah, I think that it's especially in the second half of the cycle, right, where there's just like a mound of safeties that have, 85, 86 speed, but have good traits otherwise. I think it's particularly useful there.
Yeah.
But with the pass coverage archetype bump, that kind of, it gives, it's along the lines of helping the role players, right? If you're really looking at your roster that deep, which I think most people in this league are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see how sub LB plays out too, because you're still going to have. Well, I just don't, you don't want to limit the monsters either, right? Like that safety Elio got, who was, he was the only elite speed safety we saw, right? And then he was also eligible to play sub linebacker, right? Like you still want that like type of monster back to be able to be out there too.
Yeah,
You don't want to lower the ceiling necessarily to just because you raise up the floor.
Yeah, I had to make a decision with it. When I had Hamilton, he was like a 92 safety. I had to make a decision of either keep him at sub-line, because he was eligible for linebacker, so I was like, well, I can have him closer to the ball to where he can affect it more. But then I had to sacrifice that by using those bomb-ass EHN safeties at 88, 89 speed. But that was like one thing. That was one of the things I had to take into consideration. Am I going to just keep Hamilton with his everything elite closer to the line of scrimmage, maybe affect the play a little more than at the sacrifice, especially the street. I had to sacrifice a lot of backside coverage with an 89 safety. So it'll be interesting. So I'm like you said, I'm sure they tested things out and maybe the safety pool is going to be a little faster. So we'll see. I am curious about this. I did ask about the scouting thing. I would like to see that expanded on a little. If the scouting pool is deeper, then don't worry about it. But I mean, we were in DU together, and we would see certain teams be factories for certain positions. And I just don't want to see that happen here, to where if you get in early enough to sign that 3-star scout at corner, you keep them all cycle and just start churning out corner after corner after corner. You just become a factory of certain positions. I just would like to see the scouts rotated throughout the league. They suggested incentives on doing that. Sure, if that's what you want to do, but with the fact that that EA can't provide enough scouts, I would just like to see it rotated. I wouldn't say just share the wealth, but just, I don't know. I just want to see other teams and, have the ability or have the chance to scout corners with the 3-star instead of always being stuck with that 1-star corner. But they're, swear to God, but they could all cycle, they'll have the 3-star offensive tackle scout that they're stuck with because no one else is going to drop the 3-star wide receiver, safety, or corner scout. So I just like to see that.
Yeah, I'm in 100% agreement, especially since it's not anything that's earned. It's just you're either blessed to have that scout on your team when you opened up, or you were one of the first ones into the game, because everybody's looking to do the same thing. We do some type of contest for free agency for the first year. We do something for, undrafted free agents that are, high impact players. Well, I think your scouts are probably a bigger impact than the undrafted free agent that you'll get one of. So finding a way, to use that would really be beneficial, a way to kind of even that out.
I guess, or the, you know, trying to figure out a way you can open up that info to everybody, maybe not every year, but on a year by year basis, right? Where, you know, some years there's more information shared. I don't really know how you do it, but, you know, trying to just make that information available for everybody. So since there's really no, because there's not enough, like I would have to look at the scouts, but I'm assuming, right, is there even enough 3-star scouts for every team to have one?
To have one cornerback, or
just one? Yeah, well, I mean, one for every position, right? Like, are there 32 3-star scouts?
Yeah. Because everybody has to have at least one 3-star and one 2-star, which is the maximum that you can have. But there's not 32 3-star cornerback scouts.
Right.
I want to say that there's probably less than 15 3-star cornerback scouts. Right. So,
like when it comes to, like, you know, O-line or quarterback, like, who gives a shit, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, I mean, busy. Sorry for the cussing.
You'll be all right.
Yeah, it's one thing you want to. Okay, say I'm in the market for a quarterback. I am going to get that hopefully get that 3-star quarterback scout. Draft the quarterback. No need for that guy anymore. But
right.
The fact that no one drops anything, I'm stuck with a quarterback scout for the next 8 cycles, and I'm just totally screwed when I need another position. But then, I mean, someone else can say, hey, well, I would like a quarterback scout too, but I don't want to drop my cornerback scout.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just weird. And I know that the commission team they have enough to track and monitor, and, you know, it's probably would just be another stupid thing that they would have to just throw on top of their plate. But
right.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a lot of work, but I don't know. Just maybe something they can consider. Maybe we're throwing some kind of rotation thing in. So, but that was mine. So, but I mean, overall, these are really good changes or these proposals that they throw out there. I'm curious about the QB mentorship program, because you guys know Hendon Hooker can really use it.
Yeah, how does, I mean, the programs, those sound intriguing to me. I don't really know how they work, presumably, right? There's some type of rating incentive bump if you bench somebody and have a good player, or, you know, you do some type of extracurriculars. You know, I like that, right? Giving a mechanism for, you know, so does this mean, like, you know, you draft a quarterback that's 59 overall but has 90 speed, you can make him usable at one point, or is that kind of the idea behind that? Or maybe not that extreme, right? But a little bit.
That's essentially the concept. You draft a guy,
and they sit. And
you sit them, kind of like an Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre scenario, right? Yeah. So you've got your drafted player. It sounds like they're going to do the first 3 rounds this time around. But you draft them, you know, you pour XP. He just can't play. And whenever you decide to play them, that determines what type of reward you get for them. Maybe you get one THP, or, you know, maybe it's like 3 short accuracy, that type of thing. In addition to, you know, all of the XP and the chips that he's been getting all along, that's just a player edit. You know, here's a bunch of stuff for you. So
it can be physical too.
I think you had to sit him for 2 full years, and going to that 3rd season, he did get a THP bump, like 1 THP, because the benefit was, you know, you can get those chips, you get a THP chip. So he starts off at 92. He got one through natural progression to move him to 93. He got one more, moved him to 90, you know, 94. And then when you make an edit to it, it resets it, because the maximum to get is 3. So, yeah, you can get 1 THP as of before.
Yeah, and the quarterback, the mentor, couldn't be like Marcus Mariota. It had to be someone of like 85 overall above, like Mahomes, or like Michael Biss said, the Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love. I know he's pretty far, but I think that's one of the ones that really stood out when this program was used. Was Jordan Love was thrown in there, or like I think Tannehill was eligible to be a mentor to whoever was drafted. So it can't be like a bum starting quarterback either. It had to be someone who is actually a mentor, even though Tannehill mentioned he does not want to be a mentor, but I think he was used. But yeah, so there were a couple more restrictions in place, but I thought it was a really good idea to make a third round quarterback, you know, viable. So. Ben says he's got to drop out, so should we just cut it here? Because I know he runs Craig, so.
Yeah. I mean, that's all good. I'll just say that I'm pumped to see the All-Star game coming back. I think that was mentioned on some show a while back, and that would be awesome to watch. Sounds like a shitload of work for Grizz, but yeah. I'd be down to help out any way I could. But that would be awesome.
Yeah, he does an awesome job at that. So bring it back, Grizz. All right, Grizz, sorry. But yeah, we're going to wrap up. Grizz in charge of Craig. So, but we appreciate you guys listening. It's been fun. I'd like to do this more again. Always fun chatting with you guys.
All right, good luck on the rest of your Monday.
All right, see you guys.